Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Hope everyone as well enjoyed a meaningful week, and Baruch Hashem, we're excited for Shabbos. So I want to thank our sponsor very, very much, and our family who wishes to remain anonymous. Tizku l'mitzos u'lamaisim metovim. L'zchus of these divrei Torah, should bring many zechuyos l'tova to her and her entire family for many Shabbosos, spent benachas, besimcha, bekedusha, and Shafa Bracha Tizku Mitzvos Ulamaisim Tovim. Okay, so we are going to start. We're in a new topic. Last time, a new section, a subheading. What Rav Shimshon Pinkus is doing is he's going through different parallels between Shabbos and Mikdash / Mishkan. So in terms of Shabbos clothing, he spoke about the Shabbos table. They had the Shulchan. We have our Shabbos table. They had Big Day Kohuna. We have Shabbos clothing. The Levim sang, part of the Avodah. We have Zemiros. These are all topics that we've spoken about. The next topic that we're speaking about is eating. And the subheading is eating from Korbanos, just like the Baal Korban and the Kohanim ate from the Korbanos. We have a mitzvah to honor Shabbos, Ein Simcha B'Basar, Ein Simcha B'Yayin. We have Oneg Shabbos, and that's the next subheading. I also see that my father-in-law is joining us this morning. Good morning, Abba. Thank you for coming. So as an introduction, I'm going to be quoting from the Gemara, the Maseches Beitza. The Gemara tells us in Beitza, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, about the differences between Hillel and Shammai, and how they would prepare in terms of buying food and setting aside food for Shabbos. So this is just a short introduction from the Gemara that we are going to use to segue into this new topic from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. They ate from Korbanos, we eat from the Shabbos table. So I'm quoting the Gemara Maseches Beitza, Tes Zayin Aleph. Okay, Tanya was taught in the Braisa, Amru Alav Al Shammai Hazakin. Excuse me. Hillel and Shammai had many machlokas l'shem shemayim. So they also had a different approach in how they bought and stored, if you would say, set aside food for Shabbos. Amru alav al Shammai hazakein. So they said about Shammai, kol yamav haya ochel kavod Shabbos. Every day, kol yamav, all his days, his eating was a kavod Shabbos. What does that mean? If you eat on Monday, are you eating a kavod Shabbos? If you eat on Yom Shlishi, are you eating the kavod Shabbos? You're eating for that day. What does it mean about Shammai that all his days he was eating for Shabbos? Matzah behema na'a. If you found a nice animal, Omar zola Shabbos, he would say, this should be set aside for Shabbos. So if he was in the market, on Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Ravi, he found a beautiful cow, he would say, I'm going to set aside this for Shabbos. Matzah acheres na'ehemena, let's say, on Yom Shlishi, he bought a beautiful cow. And then he went to the market and he said, this is for Shabbos. Then he went to the market on Wednesday and he said, oh my gosh, this one's much nicer than the other one. So what would he do now? He found the superior one on the next day. Maniach es hashnia, he would leave the second one. He would set aside the second one for Shabbos. Va'ochas harishona. And he would consume, he would eat the first one. So that night's dinner would be what he bought yesterday for Shabbos. But now that he found something nicer, he used that one up. And the newer one was for Shabbos. So every day of the week, the Gemara says, he was eating the Kavod Shabbos. Every day of the week. Okay, there's a sponsor applied. Okay, fine. It's okay. Okay, so every day of the week, he was actually eating for Shabbos. So Shammai's weekday meals were in honor of Shabbos because he was constantly thinking about Shabbos. Aval, but what about Hillel Hazake? Mida Acheres Haislo. Hillel had a different approach entirely. Shakal Mas of L'Shem Shemaim. All his actions were for the sake of Sabin. He was sure he would find a fitting animal for the Shabbos when the need arose. Art scroll footnote. Going from the Shita Mikubatzas. It's obvious that Shammai's actions were also for the sake of heaven. The Gemara says that Hillel's actions were L'Shem Shemaim. Does that mean that Shammai wasn't L'Shem Shemaim when he said in the Shuk on Monday, oh, this is the Kavod Shabbos, and he set it aside. And then on the next day, he found something nicer. He said, wow, this is even nicer than the first one. I'm going to eat the first one. He wasn't acting L'Shem Shemaim. It is obvious that Shammai's actions were also for the sake of heaven, as he spent much money in anticipation of his Shabbos meals. Every day in the market, he was thinking, will I find a nicer animal for Shabbos? But the Gemara points out that Hillel, who at first glance did not seem to be concerned about a Shabbos meal, Hillel was more laissez-faire. When I need the meat, I'm going to find it. I don't have to be thinking about it every day. When I need it, I'm going to find it. Hillel, at first glance, did not seem to be concerned about Shabbos, was also acting out of the sake of heaven, out of his faith that God would provide daily sustenance. So in other words, the Gemara makes a point of telling you Hillel was acting L'Shem Shemayim because Shammai was obviously acting L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara doesn't need to tell you that. It's clear that anyone goes to the market every single day, all he's thinking about is this animal nice for Shabbos? When you come to Hillel, every day he said, when I need the animal, Hashem's going to send it. So you might think he's not acting L'Shem l'shem shemaim. So the Gemara makes a point of telling you that when it comes to Hillel, kol ma'asav l'shem shemaim. You shouldn't be nervous. He lived every day with the Prochet. When I need it, I'm going to find it. His actions were also l'shem shemaim. Shanemar, what was Hillel's motto? Like the Pasuk says, in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It's an expression we say today. It's from Tehillim 68:20. So art scroll footnote. Many authorities explain, Hillel agreed that Shammai's conduct in preparing for Shabbos is preferable for most people. So if you find a nice roast, I don't know, a beautiful fruit, a beautiful delicious pastry, any day of the week, like Shammai, you should bring it home and you should say, I am setting this aside for Shabbos. However, Hillel himself had an extraordinary amount of faith. He wanted to rely on God to help him find food for Shabbos just when he needed it. The Mishnah Berurah says that others who do not have this high level of faith in God are advised to set aside food for Shabbos at the beginning of the week. So most people, the Mishnah Berurah says, can take the approach of Shammai. If you find something nice, you should set aside for Shabbos. You don't know if a nicer animal is going to come about. And that way you're living every day honoring Shabbos. Hillel, who had an extra degree of faith, Hillel, who laid on the rooftop to hear the words of Divrei Elokim Chaim, and he was covered in the snow, he had so much faith, he had such an ahava, he had such an amuna and Hashem, he said, when I need it, I'm going to find it. But the Mishnah Berurah says that most people should take the Shammai approach. If you find something nice in the market, you should set it aside for Shabbos, whereas Hillel's approach was Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. Right? So that's what the introduction to this new section, that is a different approach of Shammai and Hillel into their preparation in terms of Shabbos food. Right. Now we're going to go to this new section. So again, we did the table, we did smiros, we did the menorah, oh, bathing, they had the kiyar and the kohanim went to the mikvah, we bathe for Shabbos, they had priestly garments, we have Shabbos clothing, we have to make sure we look like appropriate for Shabbos. And it's interesting because this is Parshas Truma, and Truma begins with the Malachas HaMishkan, the Nadavos for the building of the Mishkan, and all these aspects are delineated for us in the following Parshas of Truma, Tetzaveh, the beginning of Kitisa. The Parshas focus on this. So now we are going into the Sefer with the Gemara Beitza as our introduction. Okay, the subheading is called, if you happen to have the Sefer, I'm on page 61. Okay, it's Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos. So I'm on page 61, and the subheading is Eating from the Karbanos. Excuse me. When people ate in the Beis HaMikdash, it was not an ordinary eating. Remember, everything in this chapter is a parallel between the Avodas Mishkan / Mikdash and our Avoda on Shabbos. When people ate in the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't an ordinary eating. Someone who offered a korban on the Beis HaMikdash would receive a portion of the meat, depending on what type of korban it was. So, for example, a korban ola was totally kulo l'Hashem. And think of the korban Pesach. The korban Pesach, you have to make sure you eat the whole thing. That's why you have to join with your neighbor. So you see that there's a spectrum on the korbanos. Some are kulo l'Hashem. Some are kulo l'bal korban. Although I don't remember where I learned recently that the tail of the korban Pesach is for Hashem. But the mice or the whole rest of the animal has to go to the Baal Korban. And then in between, you have varying degrees of the Kohen gets a portion, the Baal Korban gets a portion, which is exactly what Pinchas now says in parentheses. Some Korbanos had no edible portion, meaning the Baal Korban got nothing. Others had a portion only for the Kohen. And with others, most of the meat was given to the person who brought the Korban. So there's a varying spectrum of, depending on what type of Korban you got, a portion of meat you get, a portion of meat the Kohen gets, a portion of meat is burned on the altar, on the Mizbech and the Choshes. Fine. That's just in parentheses. The point is that when a person comes and he brings a korban and he receives a portion of meat, depending on what type of korban it is and how much he has to eat, it's not regular eating. It's like when you go out to the bagel store and you have a brunch. It's not regular eating. Now that the person received his portion of meat, says Rav Pinchas, we have a halachic question. This is very interesting. Did the meat belong to him? Who did the meat belong to when the Baal Korban brings a Korban? He's eating it. But is it his or is it Hashem's and Hashem gives him the permission to eat it? Okay, so Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, let's say a man wants to perform Kiddushin. He wants to betroth a woman. Nowadays, the groom gives the bride a gold ring while standing under the chuppah. He has to give her something that is worth shavat pruta, and in order to be, as a kinyan, in order to acquire her. So he gives the bride a gold ring while standing under the chuppah. But halachically speaking, he may perform kiddushin anywhere by giving her an object, any object worth at least a pruta. And then he is mekana, the bride. What if he wants to betroth a woman by giving her a portion of meat from a korban? Is kiddushin valid? So today we have weddings, and you stand under the chuppah, and he gives her the ring that belongs to him. But lemaisa, halachically, he could perform kiddushin anywhere by giving her any object that is worthy of at least a pruta, shava pruta. So I want to share something very interesting with you that I'm going to tie into this idea. So obviously, Rav Shimshon Pinkas is going to be speaking here. If you haven't made the connection yet, why is he talking about this? Because every part of the Avodas Mishkan, Mikdash, relates to some aspect of Shabbos. Where he's going, even though he's not there yet, when you sit down to the table, it's Hashem's table on Shabbos. The food is Hashem's food. Hashem is the provider. Hashem is the sustainer. It's Ribono Shel Olam Shabbos. He gifts it to us. We are allowed to partake, to enjoy. He's going to speak about Oneg Shabbos through eating, but it all comes to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's where he's going with this. So when a man betroths a woman, he has to give her something. That question is, as an object, if he wants to give her meat. So the question is it from a korban? Is it his meat? Or is it Hashem's meat? The parallel being that Shabbos Kodesh, we're sitting at Hashem's table. I'm going to quote a very interesting Dvar Torah on this week's parasha, and then I'm going to take it a step further and elaborate to show us a connection between us, Ribono Shel Olam, and Shabbos. I'm quoting from the Sefer Short and Sweet on the Parsha, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman, Feldheim Distributors and Publishers. Okay. The parasha begins, Parshas Truma begins, okay, that Hashem tells Moshe, the Deber Hashem of Moshe Lemer, the Deber B'nei Yisrael, V'yichu li Truma, me'ez kol Yisrael shayi dvenu li bu tichu as Trumasi. That's Perichav Hei Pasuk Beis. V'zo se Truma asher tichu mi'itam, Zahav v'kesef v'nechoshas. Why does it refer to taking from the B'nei Yisrael? It should say, this is the portion they shall give. It's talking about making donations to the Mishkan. Gold, silver, copper, scheles, argaman, sola, shani, sheish, izim, shaman lama'ar, no, orvis elim adamim, orvis techashim, atse shitim. It should say they give the materials. It shouldn't say take the materials. So this is a very, very famous kasha. There are many different answers. The Al-Sheikh offers a halachic approach. It's well known that a man must give something of value to his future wife, so you could see why I thought of this threat when I was preparing for this year, because what Pinkas is speaking about, a man giving something of value to his wife to acquire her. The Al-Sheikh offers a halachic approach as to why the beginning of Parshas Truma focuses on taking the donation instead of the B'nai Israel giving the donation. The Al-Sheikh offers the following halachic approach. It's well known a man must give something of value to his future wife under the chuppah in order to effect kiddushin. Kiddushin doesn't really mean holy, it means set aside or designated, and to acquire her. In Masachas Kiddushin 5b, it says that if a woman will give a man something, she is not mekudashas. So let's say, and for kiddushin, instead of him giving her a ring that shava pruta, she gives him a ring that shava pruta, the kiddushin is not valid. There's been no kiddushin. It won't work. He is to give something to her to acquire her. However, emasachas kiddushin zayin amed aleph, there's an exception. The Gemara provides a scenario whereby a woman can provide something of value to a man, and he will acquire her in the process. How? What is the exception to the rule that in general the woman cannot give to the man, he must give to her to acquire her, and it can't be vice versa, but there is an exception. The Gemara says as follows, if the man is an Adam Chashuv, he is a distinguished person, an Adam Chashuv, then his agreeing to accept something from her, when he agrees to accept something from her, he takes from her, but he's really giving to her. What's he giving to her? He's giving her kavod. He's giving her prestige. He's giving her an aliyah. So he, in essence, the Adam Chashuv is really giving something back to the woman. So it's not that she acquired him. She gave him something, and he gave her something far more valuable. Because he's an Adam Chashuv, he gave her the kavod of having accepted what she gave to him. My son is calling from yeshiva. 1 second, please. I told him to call after Shach. So he's an off couple days Shabbos, and he needs a ride. Okay, let's go. So there is an exception to the rule, which is that if she gives him something worth value and he is an Adam Chashuv, then the kinyan is valid and there's a marriage. How is that possible? Because she gives him something small. has to be Shava Pruta. But he's giving her something much greater, which is the Kabbalah of having accepted from her. It's an very important lesson about learning to take. When you take from someone, you give Kabbalah to the person you're taking from. Important thing to keep in mind. Therefore, she's receiving far more than she's giving, and the Kedushin works. A classic example of this idea. Okay, you may not like the idea. It doesn't speak to me so much, but it's just a mashal. A classic example of this idea is giving a pen to the president of the United States. You gave the president a cheap pen. Imagine if the president uses your pen to sign legislation and for official business. You may have given him an inexpensive pen, but him accepting it and using it, he's giving to you. He's giving to you kavod. Okay? The Al-Sheikh says the same dynamic applies here. The Pasuk says take when it comes to the Mishkan, because although we were giving material to Hashem's house, so to speak, the fact that God accepted from us was a much bigger gift to us. So Hashem took from us, v'yikhu li truma. Dabrel b'nei Yisrael could just say v'yikhu truma, take a portion. V'yikhu li truma. I am taking it, take it to me. And when I take from the people, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm giving them something much greater. I'm giving them the covenant of dwelling in the house that they built. So take, I am taking, yichu li, the ish chashuv, I don't want to say Adam, but Hashem is called an ish. Parshas Naso, Perak Hei, by the Sota. She commits a trespass, umala, ish ish, ma'ala, but ish ish, double ish. And the Rashi says there that she committed a trespass against her husband and she committed a trespass against Hashem, who's called an ish. When? Perak Tesvav of Shema is Hashem ish mechama. So Hashem is the ish chashuv. I'm not saying Hashem is the ish. I just quoted the pasuk with Rashi where it says Hashem is the ish. I'm not mechard saying that. So I feel I could say that in this context of this mashal. Hashem is the ish chashuv. Hashem takes our donation, zav, kesef, nechoshes, tchez, argaman, tola, shani, sheish, izim, oros elim me'adamim, oros tachashim, va'atzei shitim, shemen lema'ar, besamim l'shemen ha'mishcha. By Hashem taking from us, He actually gives us kavod. And therefore, the pasuk says, v'yichuli truma, based on the al-shech, me'ez kosh, shei, v'enelibu, tikhu es trumasi. I am taking a portion. When I take from the Bnei Yisrael, I'm giving them something much greater than they give me. Hashem doesn't need our gold, silver, copper, ram skins dyed red, and tachashim skins, and atzei shitim. He can make it come down from Shemayim. He takes from us to give us the kavod. So why am I bringing this to you? It's a very nice word, besides the fact that it's a very nice word. Why am I bringing it to you? Because I realized an added ha'ara. We can compare this to Shabbos. When we prepare properly for Shabbos, like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, we wash like they had the Kiyur and the Mikvah. We put on our Shabbos clothing like they had the Bigdei Kohuna. We set the table for Shabbos like they had the Shulchan. We sing Zmiros like they had the Levium. Levim l'shiram u'lezimram, b'sham na'ala. We are giving something to Hashem. We're giving something to Shabbos. Hashem takes out of Oda from us. He accepts our Oda of Shabbos. But He gives us something much greater than what we give Him. We give Him our Big Day Shabbos, our Ma'acholo Shabbos, our Zmiro Shabbos, our Shulchan Shal Shabbos. We give Him our Nero Shabbos, they had the menorah, we light candles. We give Hashem all these aspects. He agrees as the Ish Chashuv to take from us. And when He takes from us our Shabbos Avoda, He gives us something much greater than we've given Him. He takes our Avoda. He graciously accepts the Avoda of Shabbos. And He gives us back something much greater. What does He give us back? Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. Shabbos is the essence of our survival. Shabbos is the key to our menucha. Shabbos is the key to our sanity in this world. My father-in-law was joining this year. My father-in-law said many years ago to me, Shabbos should be an ir mikla. And I think about it very often. An ir mikla is where the person who was the Rotzeach Bishkaga had to run. And it was a city of refuge. This world, the weekdays, the Yemos HaChol, it's not an easy place to be. Shabbos becomes an ir mikla, a city of refuge. Abba, do you remember you told me that? I think about it often. So when we give Hashem, like we gave the donation to the Mishkan, another parallel between Mishkan and Shabbos, when we give Hashem our Shabbos Avoda, He's really taking it from us v'yichuli Shabbos me'ish kol isha she'venu libu tichu as Shabbosai. Hashem is the ish chashav who accepts from the kala. Generally, the kedushin won't be valid, but in this case, because we're talking about the Ribbono Shel'olam, the ish mechama, the ish chashav, when he takes our avodah, he gives us back something much greater. He gives us the matana of Shabbos. He gives us the kavod. He gives us the oneg, and then the kedushin is valid. So you see that Shabbos is actually a kedushin between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel'olam. Who's betrothing who? We think we're giving to Hashem. I'm giving you my Shabbos table. I'm giving you my Lacham Mishnah. I'm giving you my Big Day Shabbos. I'm giving you my Zmiros. I'm giving you Achras Tzarchem. It's not true, says Hashem. I'm taking it from you, but what I'm giving back to you is the Kavod, the Menucha, the Oneg, the Delight, the Aliyah, the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos Kodesh, and then the Kedushin is valid. Because we give Hashem something, we're Shava Pruta, and the Ish Chashuv takes it from us, is the Kedushin valid or not valid? The answer is that the Kedushin is valid. So I thought it was a very beautiful application of the Gemara in Kedushin Zayin and how we can apply to actually darshan it according to Shabbos, not just according to Kedushin. Because Klal Yisrael is Mekadish, the Ribbono Shel'olam, or the Kala, he's the Chasan. So usually the Chasan has to give. But when the Kala gives, Ashava Pruta Tan Ish Chashav, and he takes it, the Kedushin does become valid because he's giving her something much worth much more than a Shava Pruta. He's giving her Kavod. That's exactly what happens with Shabbos. V'yichuli Truma, V'yichuli Shabbos. Me'ez Klesha She'id Venu Libu Tichu as Shabsosai. So Hashem says, I will take your offerings, I will give you back Kavod, and then the Kedushin between Knesset Yisrael and the Ribbono She'olam is valid and eternal. So you see that Shabbos is the item that is worth much more than Shava Pruta. That represents a Kedushin between us and the Ribbono Shel'olam. It's beautiful. I hope you're following the Chiddush. I hope I explained it correctly. I reviewed it a couple of times, so everybody, I hope, chaps. And it's a really, really nice idea, I think. Okay, so let's go back inside the Sefer. Why did I bring this up? Because that's what Shimshon Pinchas is speaking about. When a man betroths a woman and Kedushin. Made me think of that word, and then I realized that we could add to them be Mechadish to apply to Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, let's go. So now I'm back on page 61. Let's say a man wants to perform Kedushin, to betroth a woman. Nowadays, the groom gives the bride a gold ring while standing under the chuppah, but halachically speaking, he may perform Kedushin anywhere by giving her any object worth at least a pruta. What if he wants, there's a very, very beautiful vart. A Seches Kedushin begins with the Ma'aras HaMechpela, Avram's purchase of the Ma'aras HaMechpela. That's a strange thing, no? To start talking about a wonderful, elevated occurrence in life, building a Bais Ne'eman, by talking about Sarah's death, and Avram purchasing a burial portion. I think of something a little bit more uplifting to talk about. So I heard this many years ago from one of my boys. He said at the Shabbos table, Yonatan, a very nice answer, two beautiful answers. Subsequently, I heard it brought down somewhere else. Number one is, Ephron thought he was getting the better end of the deal. I'm getting 400 silver sheker over the socher. I'm getting the better end of the deal. Avram Avinu thought he was getting the better end of the deal. He's getting the Maris HaMechpela, the entranceway to Gan Eden, a chelek and Eretz Yisrael. Each one thought they were getting the better end of the deal when it came to the purchase of the Maris HaMechpela. And that's what it should be in a kedushin, in a betrothal. Each one, the husband and the wife, each should think they're getting the better end of the deal. That's one lesson. And the other lesson is you should spare no expense for your wife slash spouse. When they're in need of something, you should spare no expense to give to them. Okay, two ideas on Kedushin. Anyway, going back to Pinchas. What if he wants to betroth a woman by giving her his portion of meat from a korban? Remember, talking about parallels between the Mishkan and Shabbos. So he wants a betrothal. He doesn't have a ring handy. Doesn't have anything worth a shava pruta. And he says, oh my gosh, I was just olal regal. Here, I have a piece of my meat from my korban. And then we'll be married. Here's a drumstick. Not really. That's chicken, I know. Here's a steak. A London bura. Hare a mikudashali pibasor zu kadas moshe v'yisra. So the question is, does it belong to him? Whose meat is it? Can he perform kedushin by doing this? Is a kedushin valid? It says in the Gemara, in Maseches Kedushin, where Pinchas is quoting it, Nun Hei Amud Beis, it is not valid. Why is it not valid? Because the meat is not defined as his property. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, belongs to the Ribono Shel, it doesn't belong to you. You cannot be Mekadesh a woman, cannot betroth her with something that's not yours. It is not her, it is not his. And in order to perform proper Kedushin, he must give her something that belongs to him. So the Gemara says, no, you can't give her a piece of meat from your korban. I was once asked at a wedding, Rav Pinchas continues, and during the chuppah, the officiating rabbi asked the chassan to take out the ring. The chassan started looking for it. He searched through all his pockets, but he couldn't find it. His mother tried to solve the problem, take my ring and give it to the caller standing under the chuppah, and he doesn't have something to give her. So the mother says, no problem, take my ring and do the kedushin. And Rav Pinchas says, I was at this chuppah. The rabbi, upon hearing this in the Seder Kedushin, exclaimed, no, he cannot perform Kedushin with a ring that doesn't belong to him. So lest you think this is so far-fetched, I heard a little while ago, but the story stuck in my head. I don't remember what the whole rest of the shiur was about, but this really made an impression on me. Rabbi Shai Schechter told over the following story. There was a shayla that came up. There was a marriage the week before. And the chassan knew he was a little absent-minded. And he was worried that he would forget the ring, not bring the ring, lose the ring. So he asked his sister, please be responsible for one thing. One thing I asked for you on my wedding day, bring my ring to the ceremony, bring my ring to the chuppah. So they come to the chuppah. The sister gives the ring that the chassan asked her to bring. And they have the kedushin, very nice. They have Shabbat Brachas, they got married. Somehow they come to Shabbat Shabbat Brachas, and the sister realizes, Rabbi Shechter says, he made a little joke in the middle of telling the story, he says, apparently absent-mindedness runs in the family. The sister realizes before Shabbos, maybe she's getting dressed, changed, ready for after a shower, I don't know, the ring she gave her brother under the chuppah a few days ago was not the ring he gave her, she gave her own ring. She gave her brother, unbeknownst to both of them, unbeknownst to him, her wedding band, and that's what he got married with. What's the problem? That's the problem. He didn't own the ring. Now, we're just learning the meat. You don't own the meat, so you can't be mekadesh the kala with that meat. It's not your meat. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's hekdesh. It's not yours. So this is a major shayla. They're supposed to go into Shabbat Shabbat Brachas. It's going to be a huge embarrassment. What about the marriage? They weren't married when they were together. So what do you do? So I don't remember the psak, I don't remember the end of the story, but Shachar said, I just remember how, like, whoa. I think it was around the time of my son's wedding, maybe that's why, last year in the summer, and I was like, I don't remember the psak, and I'm certainly not paskening anything, and that's obviously a very major shayla, there's a problem. I think the answer was, but it could be wrong. Anyway, no one knows anything halachic from Michal Horetz. I say that a million times, you ask your own Rav. So I think they were told so that there shouldn't be public embarrassment. The Shabbos, just go ahead with the meals. They won't be in the same room. And then after Shabbos, you complete a new Kedushin. I don't remember. I'm not pasuking halacha. Just give you an example how it's very important that crucial that it be his and he owns it and he gives it to her and it's a Shavaputa. So this is what it reminded me of. I wrote in my sefer is full of notes, so I know what to teach. I wrote in my sefer about Shai Shechter's story, because when I read about this, what Rav Pinchas says, that's what it reminded me of. So it does happen. So they come to the chuppah, and the chassan, Rav Pinchas says he's at the chuppah, he's looking all over for the ring to give the call, he can't find it. So the mother says, take my ring. All the guests are here, we're holding everything up, just take my ring. The rabbi said, quote, no, exclamation mark. He cannot perform Kedushin with a ring that doesn't belong to him. The mother responded, in that case, I'm giving him the ring as a gift. Only when the ring became his property was the chassan able to perform Kedushin. Okay. The Gemara explains why one cannot perform Kedushin with a portion of meat from a korban. For your reference, I turned them on page 62. The Gemara explains why one cannot perform Kedushin with the meat from a korban. Why? This is because the man received his portion Mishulchan Gvoa, from the table of the One Most High. Mishulchan Gvoa, it's not your table. It's not your meat. You received a portion from the table of the One Most High. What does this mean, says Rav Pinchas? So I see, by the way, that there's a question I forgot to answer. What constitutes an Adam Chashav? So halachically, I have no idea what would constitute an Adam Chashav. I assume that means someone Chashav in Torah, but that's an assumption I didn't look up. But for example, when the Gemara speaks about a Zakim, when the Chumash speaks about a Zakim, Pnei Seva Takim V'Adarta Pnei Zakim, Yikra 19:32 maybe? It's in Parshas Kedoshim. Okay, so when the Chumash speaks about a zakein, v'adarta pnei zakein, so Rashi says zesha kana chachma. We're talking about somebody. Yeah, it is. It's 1932, not the year. Perek Yitas pasuk lama bezim vayikra. Baruch Hashem. So Rashi says zesha kana chachma. When it says you have to show respect for an old person, it doesn't really mean. I mean, the pshat is yes, an older person, and obviously we should be respectful to our elders, but it's speaking about someone who has acquired Torah. Adam Chashav, in Yehadus, is a Talmud Chacham. That's only Chashivas there. It doesn't mean someone has a lot of money, that's for sure. It doesn't mean who someone has great social standing because society thinks they're important. In general, but again, I did not look up the Gemara, but I would imagine that it means someone who is a Talmud Chacham who has acquired Torah. That is someone who we consider Chashav. I mean, look who we look up to. There was like nothing in the apartment. He had the same bed that the Jewish agency gave him in the 1950s for 50 years. He never wanted to change it until they installed air conditioning in the Kanievsky apartment. Obviously, Kanievsky's fridge was in her bedroom because there was no room in her kitchen. What do we revere? We certainly don't revere money. And we don't revere social standing. What do we revere? What's Chashev? Torah. It's coming up to Rav Chaim's Yurtzeit. Unbelievable. It's mamish unbelievable. Shushan Purim. Less than 2 weeks away. So I didn't look up the Gemara. I am not qualified halachically to say, but it is true that Chashivus in Yehados is someone who has acquired Torah. That's for sure true. Okay, going back to Rav Shimshon Pinchas. The Gemara explains why one cannot perform Kiddushin with a portion of meat from a karban. This is because the person received the portion Mishulchan Gvoha. On the table of the Most High, the one Most High. What does that mean? When a person eats lunch at his friend's house, says Rav Pinchas, the halachic authorities debate whether the food he eats is considered his or does it belong to the host. Like there's a shayla with brachos. Making brachos is very, very complicated. But there's a shayla with brachos. If you eat at somebody else's house, do you have to make an extra brach? What's a shayla on dessert? Because whatever you never know what you're anticipating. It's not like when you're in your own house and you didn't have it in mind. So now you add a food to the meal. Now that you have it, now you brought something else you didn't have it in mind in the first place. You need to make a bracha. But when you eat at your host house, you never know what they're going to serve you. So if you made a ha'adam on your salad in the beginning of the meal, and now they bring a tomato salad with the main course, so even though you didn't have the tomato salad in mind because you didn't know what was on the menu, you're eating at someone else's house. It's not your table. It's not your food. It's not your menu. So clearly when you're at somebody else's house, it's their food. So the Gemara debates. Halachic authorities debate whether the food you eat is considered your food or does it belong to your host. That is, may the guest take food home with him, either to eat it or to do with it what he wishes. 1 second. Excuse me. The guest may take the food home. Excuse me. May he take the food home, either to eat or do with it his wishes. So I assume that nobody would go to the guest house and start packing up food, even if halachically it's yours, without permission. That would be very strange. It would be very bad derech eretz and very bad manners, even if it does belong to you. Okay. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no such shayla. According to all opinions, the food does not belong from you to you. You're eating mishulchan gvoah from the table of the one Most High. This week's parsha. You learn about the shulchan. The golden shulchan in the Mishkan, it was wood covered in gold. It had a zer zahav over the top of the frame of the table, which represents Keser Malachim, the crown of kings. Because like Rashi says, shulchan Malachim, the table represents aristocracy, the wealth of kings. There were two columns with six stacks each for the lachem upon him. So they did. They had a shulchan. And that shulchan was mishulchan voha, literally from the shulchan of the one Most High. So according to all opinions, when the Baal Korban eats his korban, he went up, he was olah regel, he has the korban chagiga, can he say, oh, I have a piece of meat left from the korban chagiga, let's get married? The answer is no, because it doesn't belong to him. According to all opinions, he's eating from the table of the Most High. the food definitely belongs to Hashem, who invites this Jew to partake at his table. No, it's not your table, it's not your meat. It's God's table, and it's Hashem's meat. Thus, the meat is not his property, and he cannot perform Kiddushin with it. Now, what does this all have to do with Shabbos? Well, first of all, we already gave an insight, a drash into Shabbos from Kiddushin, when a woman gives something to an Adam Chashuv and he takes it from her. In reality, he's giving her kavod. And we brought a beautiful parallel, I think, to Shabbos and our Kiddushin with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But now we come to Rav Shimshon Pinchas, and now he's going to connect this whole teaching to Shabbos. So too it is with the Shabbos table. We are not saying, halachically speaking, if a man performs Kiddushin with Shabbos food, she's not betrothed to him. It's not a korban. It is your food. But, so in other words, the Shabbos food, actually, halachically, if you bought it, belongs to you. So Shimshon Pinchas clarifies, we're not saying if a man performs Kiddushin with Shabbos food, she's not betrothed to him. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is that the idea is the same. On Shabbos, we sit at Hashem's table, and on Shabbos, we eat Hashem's food. I was just thinking about it yesterday. I was doing my shopping, and I was thinking of the Gemara, which Rav Pinchas is going to quote on the next page. So I'm not going to quote it inside now. But when I was buying the items, I thought to myself, the Gemara says, in Beitza, Tazayin, that what you spend on Shabbos does not come out of your annual allotment. Whatever you spend during the year, your most hechol, you have to be careful. You have to spend responsibly. If you spend irresponsibly, so you don't get more. But what you spend, I'm not saying you shouldn't be responsible when it comes to Shabbos also. You have to be a kavodik, but if you see something nice like Hillel and Shammai, like Shammai and Hillel, and Hashem takes care of that purchase. So if you buy, I don't know, whatever you buy for Shabbos, Hashem takes care of that purchase. So it is Hashem's table. It is Hashem's food. It does belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What we are saying is the idea is the same, says Rav Pinchas. On Shabbos, we sit at Hashem's table and we eat his food. In the Zmiris of Shabbos, we say, Dahi Sudasa, the Atika Kadisha. This is the meal of the Ancient One. I once asked him what he thinks this means. He answered me, I'm quoting Rav Pinchas, it means we're inviting Hashem to our table. I replied, no, it's the exact opposite. It means Hashem is inviting us to his table. He is the host and we are the guests. Someone just messaged me, direct message. The Shla teaches when preparing the Shabbos table, Shnei Lichos HaBris HaShla, one should say, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. That's exactly this idea, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. The whole week it's your table. Everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Obviously, all Parnasa, Pesach, Hasidach, Mispich, Chol Chametzan. But during the week it's your table. You own the meat. You own the food. On Shabbos, you move into a different realm and a different madriga. The Shla says you should say, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the table from before Hashem. Can you halachically betroth a woman with the corned beef that's on the table? It sounds like you can, but it is hashkafically the understanding. I don't know how happy she would be, but it can be done. But it's the understanding that on Shabbos, like in the Beis HaMikdash, you're eating from Hashem's table. On Shabbos, you're eating from the Ribbono Shel Olam's table. So when this man said to Rav Pinchas, we invite Hashem to our table, Rav Pinchas said back, no, it's the exact opposite. Hashem invites us to his table. He is the host and we are the guests. Shabbos Kodesh, says Rav Pinchas, resembles the Beis HaMikdash. We sit at Hashem's table and we partake of Hashem's food. Okay? I am going to quote from Rav Zachariah Wallerstein, Zatzal. Was it his Yurtzeit or it's coming up to his Yurtzeit also? Rav Zachariah Wallerstein, in the Sefer, it's called It's All About Change, Stories and Insights from Rav Zachariah Wallerstein. And he speaks about Shabbos. And he speaks about Shabbos as a marriage, which is how we started this year, because Rav Pinchas was speaking about Kiddushin. And we showed how Hashem takes our Shabbos Avodah as the Ish Chashuv. He gives back to us kavod. The Kiddushin is valid. And we're betrothed to Hashem through Shabbos. So I'm quoting from Rav Zachariah Wallerstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. I remember when he was Nifta, Someone said to me, no one has a long-term lease on life. We want to do the best we can every day that we're given to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with our talents, abilities, and capabilities. The giving of the Torah, he was such a revolutionary, what he did for Benos Yisrael in this country and beyond. All right. The giving of the Torah, says Rav Zachariah Wallerstein, was a moment when heaven and earth embraced in marriage. It started with Kedushin. That was the whole topic of Rav Pinchas and this subheading. The giving of the Torah was a moment when heaven and earth embraced in marriage between God and the Jewish people. The wedding ring accompanying the ceremony were the two luchos made of chiseled sapphire. As with every wedding, following the chuppah, the bridal canopy, there was a period of yichud, seclusion. The first special moments together as husband and wife, chas and kala, ribon shel olam, knesses yisrael. The Midrash relates that God approached the angels and said, "What shall I give my beautiful wife in the yichud room? What should the yichud room gift be?" It was then that Hashem himself said the answer. "In my treasure house, there lies the most precious item in the world I would give to my kala. And Shabbos is her name." So Hashem wanted to know what he should give the kala after the betrothal as a yichud room gift. Hashem asked the angels. Hashem then answered his own question. He doesn't quote where the Midrash is, so I cannot look it up. Obviously, we trust Rav Wallerstein Zatzal. And then Hashem himself answered and said, "Shabbos is the name. The most precious gift God has in the world is Shabbos. And he wanted to give it to us." The angels protested. The angels said it would be a disgrace to present something so cherished to man. Shabbos belongs in the heavens, they argued. But God gifted us Shabbos, the most precious treasure of all. Yet within the basking glory of this momentous marriage, we faltered. We exchanged Kedushin with God for the golden calf. We shattered precious Kitisa, Paraklama Bees, coming soon. We shattered the relationship. Mirrored when Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Luchos, our precious wedding ring, into pieces. A tragedy of profound measure. Yet with our return to Hashem and our acceptance of the second Luchos, our relationship was reset, our love was restored. And Shabbos, our binding connection to God, always remained. The test of time has proven this true. Jews in every century, in every country, risk their lives and their livelihood to observe Shabbos. But there is more, says Rav Wallerstein. In these days nearing Mashiach, there's an overabundance of allure pulling us in every direction. We have enticing temptations, promises of pleasure, fun. It baits us to drown ourselves in sin. We know what society is about. We know what the world around us reveres and honors. We honor Torah and Talmidei Chachamim. That's an ish chashuv to us. Malk rechmana letzlan, what the temptations of the world offer people today. With these surrounding challenges, there exists a deep-seated taiva, a desire that whispers to us of fun and pleasure and immediate gain. It is this seductive whisper that's our downfall. But then it comes to Shabbos. And that whisper of the Yetzer becomes very faint, if not altogether silent. Remember I told you my father says Shabbos should be an ir mikla. All of a sudden that voice, that Yetzer runs away. Because Shabbos is different from everything else. God tells us Shabbos is a day of extraordinary delight. We eat delicious foods. He's talking about Kedushin and eating, which is exactly what Pinchas was speaking about. We sing beautiful Zmiros. We learn through the commentaries on Torah, and we give our bodies a much-needed rest. The Satan has great difficulty convincing us to violate Shabbos, because there's no inherent taiva to do so. There's no taiva to not follow through in this phenomenal institution of Shabbos. Keeping to other Jewish values and laws sometimes poses a difficulty. When it comes to Shabbos, it's something we keep close to heart, and we never want to let her out of our reach. In a word, Shabbos is our identity, says Rav Wallerstein. As observant Jews, we are known as Shomer Shabbos, those who keep Shabbos. You know, you don't call an observant Jew Shomer Kashrus. You don't call an observant Jew Shomer Taras HaMishpacha. You don't call an observant Jew someone who dresses tznius, even though an observant Jew should be keeping Taras HaMishpacha, the laws of Machos, Osuras, and Mutaros, and obviously Taras HaMishpacha. But our identifying mark is if you're Shomer Shabbos. This is the core of who we are, says Rav Wallerstein, and it is because Shabbos is the glorious gem that God gave us in the Yichud room. And so it will forever bind us to Him. Shabbos represents our intimate relationship with God. We also offer an answer as to why it's valid, because as the Ish Chashuv, He accepts our Voda of Shabbos, He takes it from us, thereby giving us Kavanah, Chashivas, and Aliyah. And that's how Shabbos represents Kedushin that's valid. We keep Shabbos and Shabbos keeps us, says Rav Wallerstein. Hold on to it. It is the most exquisite jewel that connects us to our chasa and the Ribono Shel Olam. There is nothing more beautiful than that. So I wish everybody a beautiful, uplifting, meaningful Shabbos Kodesh. Again, Chodesh Adar. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. And to our sponsors, we say Tizkul Mitzos, Ula Maisim Tovim. We thank them very, very much. Kol Tov. Thank you to all. Good Shabbos.